Here we go. Here we go. Here we go again.
Guys, what's my weakness? Beer. Okay, then.
Okay.
You don't remember that song? It was...
talking about OK Go, right?
No. It's... now it's... Salt and Pepper.
Oh, okay.
I think it was. Yeah, here I go. Here I go again. Girls, what's my weakness? Men. Okay, then.
Oh, okay. No, yeah. I was singing the OK Go one.
Oh,
yeah. You know, the treadmill song, you know, the...
Right. Yeah, I saw that once or twice. I'm not a music guy. Okay, let me start off with this.
Bring it.
I've read more about Bitcoin. I'm not convinced, but I'm also what I am convinced is that I don't have enough information to be a reasonable arguer.
Okay.
It seems awfully fishy to me. The whole thing just seems fishy. Essentially a way of making transactions between things instant and cheaper, but also based on a speculative commodity internally inside the system in which you're using to transmit. It just seems bad, but I just don't have enough information. I've talked to some people about it. I just don't have enough information to go on to really.
My opinion is you're too hung up on the speculative commodity part of it. Sure, there's wild swings in value and whatnot. Right. Everything has a value in what people put into it. And if there's enough people that put value in Bitcoin, then it has value. If there's enough people that put value in the American dollar, it has value.
Well, my question is, though, what is it? What is Bitcoin?
Bitcoin is a finite resource determined cryptographically.
Yeah, I understand that. But what is it supposed to be a new currency? Or is it simply a method for allowing for purchases with other currencies?
It can be both because there's exchanges. But you could imagine a world. Imagine a world.
In a world.
Where your paycheck is in Bitcoin and then everything you buy is in Bitcoin. I mean, it's a long ways off from that.
Right.
But, you know, it's... Because of the cryptographic nature of it, you know, it's not counterfeitable. It's a finite resource. There's only so many Bitcoins that are going to ever be mined. And then at that point, there is no more mining of Bitcoin. And all the Bitcoin that is out there will be out there. And there's probably going to be like some Hawking radiation of Bitcoin, right? Because people are going to lose some here and there. And over a trillion years, there's going to be no Bitcoin left.
That's the thing is that, you know, if you lose your wallet, mm-hmm. your Bitcoins are still in the blockchain. But you have no way of getting them back
ever. Yeah.
So it's.
Well, there was a dude who mined, you know, 1,200 Bitcoin or something like that. Maybe it was more than that. And so I didn't read the story. I just saw the headlines. But so it could have even been a hoax. But I think it was legit because I've seen enough places. Hard drive got thrown out that had his wallet on it. So he was actually. I mean, it was worth $700,000. So he was at the landfill trying to find his hard drive.
Sure, $700,000 is there.
Yeah.
You know, I saw something about a Bitcoin scam that happened. Somebody went into a what's that?
I don't know what that is.
Somebody went into a restaurant that apparently was taking Bitcoin and paid for his meal in Bitcoin, or thought he did, and then it didn't show up for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And then they found out that somebody had pasted over a QR code for a different Bitcoin thing. So
Like the menu, sent it to someone else instead.
So that money was just gone. And then you realize, well, and then they had the police come, and eventually they reached a deal and they paid for the meal. He paid for only half the meal. But what if...
You shouldn't have to pay for the meal. If they give the payment method, here's our QR code, and if someone had scammed it,
yeah,
it's their onus.
Saying is that he because the owner called the police and wasn't paying, he managed to get out half the meal. I was thinking, what if the owner has... What if the owner has two wallets? Or the owner has one that's legit and one that's fake, and he uses that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean...
I mean, so the guy that ordered the meal is out a meal and a half now.
Yeah.
No. No, that... If you're liable for the fraud... I mean, if someone did the fraud on your menu, say the QR code's on the menu, right? Or maybe... So they have the... You know, the little books they give you with the receipts, right? On the inside flap of that is where the QR code is. Probably something like that, right? So someone...
I don't know the whole story.
It has to be something like that. It has to be something that's multi-use. You know, it's not a QR code that's printed on the receipt, mm-hmm. because then you would have to have the receipt printer being hacked, right?
Right.
So this is probably a static QR code on the receipt booklet, right?
Well, apparently he had to go up to a particular area with the manager to do the Bitcoin. Because, I mean, it's not, they don't advertise. Right. You don't see any places that advertise, no, we take Bitcoin. I think you said Yards does. I looked on their website. There was nothing about it. But maybe at the brewery they have something. Regardless, I mean, there are other systems that allow for transfer of money,
mm-hmm.
even with low or no overhead. So with regards to that much, I don't know where Bitcoin comes mm-hmm. as a and the other thing is that I don't buy the currency argument, because right now it's just a speculative commodity. But that's okay, economically speaking. I mean, if you want to, I feel like again, I'm getting into it when I said I wouldn't. But it's just like, if you want to think of it as a speculative commodity, that's fine. It's orange futures. It's mm-hmm. that sort of thing. It's gold. It's something like that. I understand that, but then it has this whole other layer put on top of it, and that's what kind of confuses me about it. And I will admit the hype about it being the next new thing to take over the world and whatever, and then there's a whole bunch of libertarian nonsense going around it too. So, but, you know... I apologize to at least one person was put off by my thing at the end. I thought it was fun because I got to do improv for about 5 minutes, and that was a blast. I'm sorry you got mad. That was not my intention. Was not to make you mad to the point where you got to that point.
Yeah, I don't know. Bitcoin has the potential to be as revolutionary as the internet, as revolutionary as the printing press. I mean, it has that potential, right? It could also fall flat. But having this non-governmental currency, you know, that anyone can transact. Now, you mentioned flaws, like, you know, how big the blockchain is and stuff like that. I haven't looked into what that means for it 50 years down the road or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it has the potential for that kind of thing, all these cryptographic currencies. But the first hurdle you have to clear is to have enough people place value in this cryptocurrency. And really, only Bitcoin has that so far.
Right.
Litecoin, there's exchanges you can trade Litecoin too. But, you know, if you're going to put your money behind one to succeed, you have to pick Bitcoin over Litecoin or Dogecoin or whatever, you know.
There is now, I think I sent you a thing for Goatsy Coin.
Goatsy Coin. Oh, I love it. Why didn't I think of that?
Because why not?
Goatsy Coin. How do you mind that?
I think you can guess.
Do you have to punk people with it? Well, there we go. The next one. Get it, you know, it'll be Rick Rolly coin.
Yeah, exactly. The more people you send to maybe Rick Roll, the more value.
If you Rick Roll them, you get 10. But if you Goatsy them, you get 50.
All right. What if you Lemon Party them?
Lemon Party. I think I might have blocked that one out of my memory. It sounds familiar, but I can't remember what. Disgusting. Whatever that was. Gee, if I only had a tool.
Yeah.
But I've blocked that out of my consciousness on purpose.
30 Rock did a great joke about Lemon Party in its first season.
I remember the joke. I remember... Okay.
And the joke was... because it's Liz Lemon is the thing, right. And her parents were in there, and it was awkward, the setup for the joke, but it was his Liz Lemon's father saying, "You can't have a lemon party without old Dick."
Yeah, that's right. I wonder how far back when they were building that character did they have that joke so they could name him Richard Lemon?
I doubt it. You know, I doubt it. I think it was just something that came up in a room, and they realized they could get that past the censors. I mean, that's one of the dirtiest jokes to get past the censors. Really think about it, on network TV to have a joke like that.
Oh, fun stuff. Yeah, so now that we just ruined your sight by going to Lemon Party.
I saw a video about something that we talked about probably 5 years ago or so.
Okay.
And it made me rethink it and want one. Ortolan.
Ortolan?
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw a video of, I think it was Jeremy Clarkson eating Ortolan.
Okay, so I was talking to Greg about Ortolan. I don't think you had heard about it, right?
Yeah, right.
And I had read about it, and it is kind of the most decadent thing you can eat, and it's illegal in France, right?
Yeah.
It's a French dish, but it's illegal in France, and it's this, take this little baby bird.
Baby sparrow, basically.
And you poke its eyes out. And you feed
it. Well, right now, from what they said, they don't actually poke its eyes out. They just put it in. It's completely dark. Mm. So they put it in a completely dark place, but it just had with lots of millet. And because it's so dark, the ortolans just start feeding, and they just keep eating and eating and eating and eating. And they just constantly eat. And then when they get to a certain point, you drown them in cognac, I think. Yeah. And then they pluck them of all the feathers, cut off their heads, and cook them very quickly. They get them to high temperature, but not, you know, but that's it. Just gonna get it to high temperature. And then you basically eat it all in one.
Yeah, but you
put the...
Traditionally, you put the napkin over your head because it's such a shameful thing to...
Well, they were saying that the shameful thing came later. Okay. The reason why the napkin is because you want to get all of the aroma and stuff into it. You know, when I first heard about it, and I still think it sounds kind of like that's really kind of cruel, but it looked delicious.
Well, foie gras is pretty good.
Yeah, well, they said it was like foie gras. It was that kind of thing, and I bet it is. So, yeah, I'd go for that.
Speaking of good things, down on the Strip, it's on Smallman and 21st. It's where the 21st Street Coffee used to be. Thin Man Sandwich Shop. Have you heard of this place?
No, but I did see that Twitter gives them recommendations of things to follow. Okay. I think that you had the Craft Beer Radio follow Thin Man. So
I did it Craft Beer Radio?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a mistake.
So it said, since you followed Thin Man, here's some things you...
Oh, oops. I meant to do that with my personal account. I'll have to fix that. Crafty Radio only follows like Greg Mee and the Brewers Association. So I messed that up. But anyway, it's this little sandwich shop, and their Thin Man sandwich, it's a chicken liver pate, local bacon, frise, red wine and vinaigrette.
Yeah, suggestions based on Thin Man sandwiches.
Huh. Oops. Well, anyway, I'll fix it. And then, what did I forget to say? Vinaigrette? Oh, and a baguette. And the texture of the pate in bacon, it was like such a good mix. It actually made it taste like a runny egg, like egg yolk, right? Because all the suggestion you get from eating the bacon and the fat creaminess of the pate,
right. It
almost tasted like a BLT with egg type thing, you know, but it was really good, except the sandwich is like this long, probably about 8 inches long. The first two thirds were wonderful. The last third I was getting a little bit of pate'd out.
Yeah, no, I can see that, but it's ironic to call that one a Thin Man. Kids have eaten a bunch of those. You're not going to be thin.
Mm-hmm. They have just about everything on their menu. I mean, they have a ham sandwich, they have a roasted vegetable sandwich, but like everything else, it's sardines and goat cheese. You know, it's very non-traditional fare, and I just like, I want to work my way through this whole menu.
Cool.
Yeah, once the weather gets nice, we'll have to go to a couple of these places, because there's also that Gaucho, the Argentine barbecue place, right? And that their sandwich is really good, too. There's some really good sandwich shops walking distance to work.
So, there's this cool new theory out about life. This guy named Jeremy England, and I posted this to my Twitter feed a while ago, but like 2 weeks ago. But basically, it's a thermodynamic. It's a mathematical theory. The paper itself is called "Statistical Physics of Self-Replication," and it's a mathematical derivation of the thermodynamics of self-replication. The idea being roughly that when you have an energy source shining, or you know, putting energy into a system, mm-hmm. that system will, all things being equal, will try to organize itself to dissipate that energy mm-hmm. in what it seems to be a complicated way, but it will dissipate more of that energy more efficiently. So the way it was compared, I think I read it in the article, or someone was saying about it, was a tornado mm-hmm. is essentially a very it's a stable system, but it's creating a whole lot of disorder around it. So it has a lot mm-hmm. of energy that keeps mm-hmm. itself into a stable configuration, but because it's in that stable configuration, it's creating a much more disorder around it. And that's essentially what's okay. going on with life. So life is taking that energy, making it into a stable system, and then creating more disorder around it. And mm-hmm. The math is there.
That's interesting.
It says it's the first, you know, reasonable steps on the way to abiogenesis.
Right, on why. Why did it happen, right? Like,
yeah.
Why does the universe, you know, not say that it often, you know, there's no proof that it often tends towards organization in life, but...
Well, if this were true...
Yeah, right.
Then the odds should be that anywhere that the conditions are even remotely allow for it, we should see something akin to this. And it also broadens the definition of what life is, right? Mm-hmm. Because... You know, we have this idea of life as, you know, plants and animals and like that. But what if life is, you know, under this system, you could see crystallization as a type of life.
Right.
So there's a lot of things to think about with this. The paper, again, is from this guy's from MIT. The paper is called "Statistical Physics of Self-Replication." And if you want to look it up, just look up A New Physics Theory of Life from Quantum Magazine has a really good article on it. Really interesting stuff.
Cool.
Again, it's nothing new. You know, mm-hmm. I've been saying things sort of along the lines before, but it's the math is here now. It's not right. just somebody, you know, pontificating. There's something here behind it.
There I go. I fixed Thin Man on Twitter. I don't know how I...
Don't worry about it.
Did it with the wrong one, but... Anyway, you should check it out anyway. Life, life, life.
Life, life, life.
What does it mean?
What does it mean? I had an argument. Well, not an argument. I had a Twitter conversation with somebody about vegetarianism. And I'll go through the... Why don't I go through the conversation?
All right.
Okay? Because that... I think you'll get a better idea that I wasn't really... I wasn't being as bullying maybe as I have in the past about it. Okay, so this person named Adderall Apocalypse asked me, since animals aren't on a higher level than plants, that means humans aren't on a higher level than other animals, right? And I said, it most certainly does, yes. So the person said, so what specifically do you think constitutes ethical eating practices? My answer was, if it doesn't inordinately disrupt society deleteriously, then go for it. The reason, the thing behind that is, you know, obviously don't eat other people.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if you're in a culture that has dogs as pets, don't eat dogs. That's going to hurt society deleteriously.
We talked about how Pennsylvania is working on passing a law where you can't butcher dogs or horses, right?
No, no.
You didn't talk about that? Yeah, I heard about it in the news. So not only is the moray enough, right? Now that this year they're working on passing a law, legislature, saying you're not allowed to butcher dogs or horses.
Okay.
Libertarian to me says, shut the fuck up, you know, we don't need a law saying that. Because it's not deleterious to...
I mean, the idea is that people don't want horse in their meat. Roughly, right?
Well, there's already laws against serving horse. This is a law against you killing your own horse and eating it.
Oh, I see.
It's like a bestiality type law. Right. But right. For eating.
I don't know. Pennsylvania has so many weird laws. It's like, you know, on the spectrum of things that I want Pennsylvania to deal with, the idea of butchering, of, you know, a law against butchering horses and stuff, it's like, okay, I can deal with that. we can address that one later if we need, you know, the problem with it. We need to figure out how do we get around it.
Looks like it includes cats too. And be able to eat, butcher, or kill, eat cats or dogs or horses.
So, I mean, what I basically was saying is that, and I also said this, because Adderall Paco said that sounds a little vague if you'd written more in detail about it. I'm like, well, you know, I talked about it, but I don't have the specific answers. There's just lots of variables that are going on here. There's lots of questions about, and lots of different variables to consider. And it's sort of like, it reminds me of the morality question. Is rape always wrong? Yeah. But I can imagine the one in a million circumstance where there, you know, well, I have a hard time imagining it.
Who she's asking for.
there could be a circumstance that I'm not thinking of where such a situation could come up. And, you know, we have to take these things on. There are broad yes or no answers, but when you get down to the nitty gritty, when you get down to the fine points, there are situations where it becomes harder to give a declarative statement, a yes or no, a declarative black or white statement.
So, I mean, I agree with you on, I'm asking this question because, I mean, there's an easy gut reaction answer and then I want to dig into that deeper, but you know, okay, you know, eating cute animals, fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that don't eat, you know, cows because they're cute, you know, cows aren't cute, but you know, those kinds of things, that's one thing.
Well, I mean,
but what about,
depends on what you think is cute, right? I mean, right. The Indians don't.
Sure.
The Indians love their cows.
Right. Well, that one might be real hard to get off if you left that gap in there.
Oh.
I had a big problem when I left the gap in to see what it was like, and I got really stuck. He's playing with my bolt puzzle from a couple weeks ago.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. So, you know, animals are, you know, not special, you know, whatnot. What about preparations where it causes, you know, discomfort, pain, suffering, right? Talk about the foie gras, the ortolan, or, you know, imagine something that was even worse, right? Where this animal has to be in 5 years of excruciating pain to be delicious, right? You know?
Well, I just say, why do we make the assumption that plants don't have the same sort of feelings? Because they're different. Because
they don't make noise, they don't squirm.
They're a lot different than us. Yeah. So we have a hard time... making the personification. It's easier with animals because we can, they're similar to us, but not all animals, right? I mean, we don't see the suffering that an oyster makes. So we're plenty happy to eat those raw and live.
Right.
You know,
I mean, I guess when you take a plant and you throw it in a frying pan,
right?
It's sitting there screaming, right?
If
you throw it in a blender,
you take plant just going through with a combine, just chopping off, you know, parts of them. Right. You're not putting any antiseptic on them. You're not.
Yeah.
And we know that they respond to that. We know that, you know, they not only do they respond to that with themselves, but they respond to that they communicate with other plants and send out warning signals to other plants. And they have plants actually have strong social lives. They communicate with other plants in their root system. And actually, they have exchanges where they actually exchange nutrients with other plants. There's stuff going on with plants that is just as complex.
But you know, let's step back just a thing. You know, food chain, motherfucker, right? We're gonna eat plants. We're not going to survive, right? Well, but no one could imagine something where you'd be torturing a plant to make a delicious fruit, right? Like, say, if you, I guess, you know, certain drought conditions make peppers better, right? Things like that. So you're torturing the plant to get a better fruit, you know, which no one considers that torture, where, you know, force feeding ducks.
That's torture. I don't think food chain is the answer. I think heterotrophs is the answer. We have to eat other living things to survive. Mm-hmm. We can't just survive on sunlight. So we're stuck. I feel like that if you don't actually consider that plants are real living things with their own and just as sophisticated as animals, then you're not giving nature enough credit here. You're not giving the plants enough credit for what they are, which are fascinatingly complex things. Just as complex as animals, it's just they don't move as much.
Mm-hmm.
But they have their own lives and certainly their own responses. And if you're just going based on autonomic responses to things, which is how we judge whether things are in pain or not, then plants do give you the same reactions. It's just they don't, you know, they will... move away from things that cause them pain. They will, you know, have responses to pain and have responses to suffering. What happens then? If you're just considering suffering, why do animals get a pass? Why do animals get a pass and plants don't?
Right.
So. I can go on with the conversation, but that's essentially what it came down to. And the problem with being specific about it, because this guy wanted me to get more and more specific, you know, why can't you eat humans? I said, you know, well, because of the effects on society and you know.
Do you want to be looking over your shoulder to make sure you're not going to get eaten next? That's that kind of sums it up, don't it?
That, you know, there's Kuru and other things that you get from eating people. You know, prion diseases and Adderall Apocalypse said, well, just don't eat the brains. And I said, well, the brain's the best part. How can you not eat the brains? There's lots of arguments, but I think my big point was I don't have all the answers. I just have a general idea of what I think is right. And I'm just working on, you know, the details are in the margins, and you're never quite sure what those details are going to end up being.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing goes for morality in general. I don't think that there is some sort of all-encompassing prescriptive morality. I do think that there are what you might consider objective moral ideas, but I think that those are broad. And when you get down into the deeper stuff, I mean, for example, stealing is wrong, right? But if you need to steal to survive, if you need to steal to eat, then it's not necessarily wrong. If you're breaking and entering is wrong, but if you are in the woods and you need to survive, break into a cabin, that's not wrong. So if we do these sort of these moral composites, when we get down to the nitty gritty, it gets a little bit complicated.
Mm-hmm. Good point. And ortolan's yummy.
And ortolan looks damn good.
That's funny. Came around. You thought it was wasteful before.
I thought it was wasteful before. I didn't actually see the process. You know, when you imagine things in your head without actually seeing it, it's sometimes worse. And also my idea of suffering itself has come around a certain point.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't think here's I would hesitate to say, oh, I think it should be on every grocery store, you know. And we start getting, you know, McOrtolans and stuff like that.
The Happy Meal container has a little hood.
Right. You know, frozen ortolan in the Mega Marts. I don't think that I don't necessarily like that idea. The same way that you don't see foie gras everywhere. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, it's a special thing. It costs some extra money. But you do see veal a lot. And mm-hmm. veal is kind of, although they have done better at making veal less of an all over horrible thing.
Mm-hmm. Good marketing.
But
that's it. The foie gras just needs to hire a good marketing.
Yeah,
company.
Maybe. But you're right. You know about the peppers, right? Mm-hmm. You make them dry, and that gets better peppers. And
yeah, I'm sure there's. I can't think of specific examples, but I'm not a farmer. But I'm sure there has to be other examples of stressing the plant makes a better
mm-hmm.
something, you know, better crop, better fruit, something. Now, stressing versus torturing, you know, you can't imagine that a tortured plant would thrive, but...
I don't know...
Yeah, define torturing a plant, right?
I want to know how you define torture with anything that doesn't have a idea of self. But again, I don't know whether plants have an idea of self or not.
Yeah,
plants have brains, but does that mean they have any? This just leads to a really—I forget what it was. I think it's a type of a sea cucumber or something, but not quite sure. But it has when it mates, you know, when it becomes in its larval stage, uh-huh. it swims around, has a brain and eyes and stuff, and primitive eyes, but its brain finds a place to attach, uh-huh. and then. Becomes a filter feeder and essentially eats its brain and eyes and stuff like that because it doesn't need it anymore.
Huh.
So
it kind of devolves. What we would think is devolving. Gut reaction.
So you think, it went from having a brain and what you might call, you know, something to have some sort of idea of self to just taking all that away and to because that whole thing is now inefficient. That whole thing doesn't serve a purpose anymore for what it evolved to do. So what if you eat that? Is that still, do you still consider that an animal? It has all things of animal. It has a digestive system like animals do.
Yeah. If it can vocalize and scream, right, that's like the first level of uncomfortable, like, you know, that like this thing's too close to me that I'm hurting it, you know? I mean,
well, again, plants don't vocalize, right, but they send out signals.
But then like insects, you know, don't typically hear them scream when you're hurting them or whatnot. But, you know, they'll squirm in anguish, you know, things like that. So that seems familiar, right? So you feel bad when you're doing that to insects, you know? But beyond that, like, you know, I'm trying to think of the next example down.
I mean, the thing is, you know, lots of people are against abortion. What we're doing with plants is we're eating their young.
I think that's a loaded statement right there. I think you're getting a little, overboard.
We're forcing them to be pregnant, and then we are devouring their young. It's the same thing we're doing with chickens, right? But
yeah.
But on plants, what a scale.
It's the genocide of all history right there.
Well, the thing is that, again, we get our energy from organic things. We evolve that way. We're forced into this situation. So either we find a way to create an organic substrate that we can eat that does not come from anything that we would consider alive, but then what do you consider alive?
Mm-hmm. Well, life is easy to define, right?
No. Not if what this thermodynamic thing of life is saying is true.
I mean, on Earth, we have a very specific, easy set of rules to define whether it's life, right?
Oh, no. Is a virus alive?
Yeah, I think so.
There are people who would argue with you on that. The virus does not reproduce on its own, right? It has to acquire other life forms in order to reproduce. A virus doesn't excrete, or take in additional resources. It just hide. It's a piece of. It can be thought of as just sort of a piece of genetic code.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't actually do the things that you might consider life doing. It doesn't have a virus. Doesn't have a metabolism.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time since I looked at the definition of life, but, you know, if it propagates, you know, it replicates itself, right?
But then the crystals become life.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It does get confusing down at that level, doesn't it? I'm sure there's people more qualified to make that answer than me.
So I'm sorry that I messed up your doohickey.
Don't worry. I did it before. I eventually got it loose, like the last little bit, but because it's not in the right set of grooves,
I thought I put it on right, but I didn't. Jeff saw me.
Well, I thought maybe this would make it tougher, so I could actually do the puzzle again with people, but I mean, it's too tough, right?
Yeah.
You can't find the solution.
Yeah.
You just gotta fiddle with the damn thing forever.
So, we talked about this. I don't know whether we brought this up in the show or not, but because we were. The last thing we did, the last show intro we did was the Baker Street song. 80s sax solo.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of the thing in the 80s, was to do a sax solo in the middle of your song. You know, Hall & Oates are famous for doing that, but putting a sax solo in your song everywhere. I wonder, you know, what kind of things. I mean, I can say, okay, so also in the 80s, the big thing was electronic music before people really knew how to do electronic music.
Uh-huh. Right.
But there are lots of things that are sort of fads musically that we've come around on, or we sort of figure out how to perfect. I think in the 90s, a good example would be, and the early aughts, auto-tune.
Mm-hmm.
Right? People really turning those auto-tune settings all the way up instead of actually just using it as
auto-tune. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of... It kind of came out of, I mean, I'm not hardly a music historian or anything like that, but the feel there is it kind of came out of hip-hop, and that's the kind of thing hip-hop's been doing, you know, since it came around, right, is you know, reusing, you know, from sampling up through all this, you know, taking autotune and like, oh, look at this monstrous robotic voice that this bad autotune setting makes. Hey, wait a second. You know, let's use it.
Yeah. I mean, I think the first time that it became anything near popular was with a Cher song, of all things.
Was she... Yeah, I guess it was actually used to excess there. I was thinking, before you said that, I was thinking of that example as an auto-tune, but I was thinking of it as the appropriate use of auto-tune, but no, it was already overtuned for that, yeah. Excuse me.
I guess the question is, what's today? You know, I don't listen to enough music today to know what today's.
Well, we don't listen to the right. Is. Even the music I listen to is not the right kind of music. Right?
And another problem is that even if we did listen to today's music, we're so immersed in it, we would be so immersed in it that we wouldn't be able to pick out the fad. It's hard to pick out the fad while it's happening. It's like a, bubble in economics. It's hard to pick. It's hard to realize you're in a bubble until after the bubble bursts, and then it's easy to recognize you're in the bubble. Mm-hmm. But there's Captain Hindsight again.
Yeah, it's rapey songs.
Yes, that does seem a little weird, doesn't it? Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, I saw he died last Sunday. Mm-hmm.
That came out of the blue.
I haven't followed up on it. I overdosed, right?
Overdose. But
that's about all I know.
Well, that's what we think. I mean, I don't think the official report has come out, but you know, they found lots of heroin. He had a thing in his arm. You know, it seems like an overdose. Now, the interesting thing is that a couple weeks or a couple months ago, there's a thing about in Pittsburgh, 24 people died because heroin was laced with another drug that's sort of a heroin-like thing, but it's so much more powerful. Uh-huh.
Right.
And a bunch of people died, and there were questions, did that happen to him?
Okay.
Yeah, the way you die from heroin is that essentially your entire respiratory system stops because heroin calms you down, and it calms everything down, and eventually you fall asleep, and then you forget to breathe. Don't forget to breathe. It's sad to see a really good actor cut down, you know, especially in, you know, what could be considered his prime when he's doing really great work.
Right.
I'm just sad to see, you know, it was a shock when I saw that. Not because I'm a huge fan of Philip Seymour. I'm not like, I don't have posters on my wall, or it's not like, you know, to give you an example, I mean, if Dan Harmon were to die, I would be in much more sanguine mood.
Right.
Than Philip Seymour Hoffman. But I recognize Philip Seymour Hoffman's achievements and how good he is in this thing. So it's like, it was sad. It was, and also like, because you hear things like, oh, this guy who was 92 years old and was in Gilligan's Island for one episode died. And you're like, I guess I'm supposed to be sad about that. I'm sad a person died, but I don't know why it's news. And then here it is. Okay, this is actually news.
Right.
You compare Philip Seymour Hoffman to, say, Paul Walker, and you're like, I mean, Paul Walker was a fine person and decent at what he did. Mm-hmm. But was he a transformative actor in the same sense that PSH was? No.
Right.
So there's a real loss to a community when somebody like him dies.
Right. No, I agree. I watched Jack Reacher.
Oh, okay.
You know, and it's shot all up in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I mean, and the craziest thing, remember that time we left the casino and went to the South Side? And remember we got stuck up on South Side slopes at the dead end road?
I guess.
Remember we were trying to get to the South Side, but the one bridge was closed. So we took this side street and we went back what turned into a dead end alleyway and we had to turn around. Do you remember that at all?
Sort of.
There was a scene shot on that road. Like where we had to turn around. It's like, I know that road. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing was, that was a big Pittsburgh thing. That one, let's see, obviously some of Batman was in Pittsburgh, but that's not all of it. Some of Unstoppable,
the that train was movie. Not in Pittsburgh. It was in the area, though, you know, Western Pennsylvania. Yeah. But, yeah, Jack Reacher, I mean, people talk about Striking Distance, you know, with Bruce Willis as being a Pittsburgh movie, or Flashdance. But, you know, really, I mean, Jack Reacher had so much more just recognizable and things.
How was the movie?
It was pretty cool for a Pittsburgher, right? The movie was decent. You almost want to see, like, more chronicles of Jack Reacher.
Does Tom Cruise play a convincingly badass person? I have been kind of avoiding it because I just don't feel like from what I understand, I've never read the books, but from what I understand of the Jack Reacher character, he's supposed to be like 6'10".
Yeah.
He's supposed to be huge and just an immense, like, person with a huge force of not just body, but also personality.
Uh-huh.
And does that come across?
He comes across more so of a drifter, loner, ex-military guy with some skills, right? Doesn't mm-hmm. come across as... imagine if Dolph Lundgren was playing Jack Reacher, right?
Right.
You know, he doesn't come across like that at all. The character's pretty good. Like I said, you know, he definitely is this mysterious loner, you know. Like, there's one scene where...
Did you see Damien in it? He's in it.
I knew Damien was in it. I didn't know where to look. I didn't
see him. He was one of the SWAT team... He's a member of the police SWAT team at some point.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know where to look, so I figured he was an extra in there. Yeah, I mean, it was a decent movie, and it was really cool how well showcased the places you and I know, we know, are. And they actually, not all the time, like in the opening sequence is one of those, you know, they're going left, then they're going right, then they're going left, you know, in the same drive sequence, they're going back and forth the same road, like, you know, different. Uh-huh. But other than that, other than the opening sequence, I didn't notice too much of that. And they were using adjacent landmarks as adjacent landmarks, and I thought it was pretty cool how they kept a lot of Pittsburgh in it.
So
I enjoyed that part of it. I think the movie's a fine watch. I mean, it's not gonna be like, oh my god, awesome mm-hmm. movie, but you know, yes, a Pittsburgher will enjoy it more than anyone else.
Okay, so for those of you who listen who are Pittsburghers,
yes,
it's probably, so would you say that elevated your opinion of the movie? The Pittsburgh part of it, because you were
My enjoyment of the movie, and there's my opinion of the movie, and the opinion I would give consciously is it's a fine watch. You know, you're probably not going to be excited over it.
But what I'm saying is your dopamine registered a little bit more when you saw those Pittsburgh things than it may that wouldn't have if it was a Vancouver.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Speaking of Vancouver, or rather Canada, two criminals. Talk about horrible criminals, Rob Ford and Justin Bieber.
What's Rob Ford been up to? I haven't seen anything lately about
him. I'm sure just smoking crack and drinking.
Smoke a little crack, suck a little dick.
That's what you need to do to get your things done as mayor. Apparently, there's a weird thing in Toronto where he's a mayor with very little power. So. It's sort of like...
It's almost like a prince, you know? It's like, get to anything.
Yeah.
Help me.
But there's... And I'm not a Canadian. You know, I view everything from just the perspective of the news I get, so it's hard to say, but there's sort of a weird kind of cult of Rob Ford going on. Cult is the wrong way to put it, but it's like sort of an appreciation for having... this ridiculously fucked up human as your mayor and just being like, well...
Where you elect Rob Ford.
It takes all... Yeah, exactly. It takes all kinds. So why not Rob Ford? And the other thing is that the Justin Bieber thing is even crazier because all that he's doing is really he's being a 19-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
But he's being a 19-year-old who happens to have, you know, several million dollars. So it's a different situation. But he's making all the mistakes a 19-year-old makes.
Yes.
I find it hard to really, you know, criticize him for smoking weed and stuff like that. Obviously I can criticize him for drag racing on a road, but I can't criticize him for making dumb decisions when he's 19. Mm-hmm. He's 19. He's going to make dumb decisions. He happens to be in the spotlight. There was a petition the White House has to respond to because it got 100,000 signatures from people to deport Justin Bieber.
Deport Justin Bieber.
Don't deport. He's just a kid. He's a kid who's going through one of the hardest times in your life. When you're surrounded by yes men and have lots of, you know, millions of dollars, It's a tough thing.
Just make him stay with Alex Trebek. He'll straighten him out.
Alex Trebek? Why Alex Trebek?
Canadian. Have a Canadian watch a Canadian. Keep him straight.
Why not Mike Myers? Why not...
Because he's Alex Trebek's hard edge. Straight edge, you know, like, yes, that answer's right. No,
well, no, I don't think Alex Trebek is actually like that in real life.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I don't like Justin Bieber's music, but that doesn't mean I don't necessarily understand what he's going through, mm-hmm. and totally am willing to give him a pass on certain things. Now, if he gets to Lohan potential, where it just continues and then it just drugs, party, drug, then yeah. But when you're going through what he's going through, a little leeway should be given. Mm-hmm. But
Greg loves the Biebs.
Give me some more Biebs.
Did you see the video of Ron Jeremy doing Wrecking Ball, the Miley Cyrus song?
No, I did not see the video of
Ron Jeremy. It's not great, but it's worth mentioning. It's one of those cultural phenomenons. Might as well, yeah. It's a shot-for-shot recreation of the Wrecking Ball video, but with Ron Jeremy.
Yeah, I don't really want to see that. we're going to Saver again, just in case anybody is curious.
Yep.
We'll be there again this year. And,
it's going to be the same format as 2 years ago, so there'll be less stuff to cover. There'll only be three simultaneous salons.
That's as opposed easier to us.
And it'll be the two upstairs, the one downstairs, like always. So the only downside there is, you know, the back room where you have to walk through the other room to get in and out.
Beautiful place. The National Building Museum is amazing.
Yep.
I'm getting better at cards.
Are you?
I'm not there yet, but I'm getting better at doing the small moves, the things that, you know, and I can't really demonstrate them to you without really giving away exactly what I'm doing, but I'm just, practice actually does work.
Mm-hmm.
So,
imagine that.
Yeah. You do practice some things. You sort of figure out how to get things to.
There's something behind this practice stuff.
Yeah, you know, believe it or not, the more you practice,
then he drops half the deck on the floor.
I'm not perfect at it, but you know, the more you practice, the better you get at certain things. So like, ooh, look, see, it's a five of diamonds, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna, it's the eight of clubs.
Actually saw that one.
Yeah, well,
but when you did the one last week with Allison, I didn't see the sleight of hand actually. I don't know the angle I was at or something. It was funny though. Greg was concentrating so much that he doesn't have the steadiest of hands, and your hands were shaking so much that it looked like you were pulling one over on me, even if you weren't yet doing it because your hands were shaking so much.
Seven. No, it's the eight. But. You start to, you know, you realize, yeah, that a lot of them, also you kind of get used to the whole idea that, wow, this sort of thing, like if I do this kind of cut, I mess it up, damn it. if I do this kind of cut, it looks like I'm actually doing a cut, but no, I didn't really. And I know I didn't, because I know what I did. Right. So you're like, but to you, who's not doesn't see what I'm doing, it looks like, I scrambled the deck. So, it's cool stuff.
Yep. Cool. I guess it's about time to drink some beer.
I think so.
Yeah, a few more. Well, we got a glass here we got to finish, so we might as well talk a little bit more if we got more things to talk about.
Well, I'm trying to save some things. Did we talk about the Duck Dynasty thing last week?
We talked about it a while ago. I don't think there was anything new we talked about last week.
Well, did you see what was on my Twitter feed?
I didn't.
Because I went to get a dog food for a dog I was looking after, and at the store they had this Duck Dynasty two-door camouflage wire crate for dogs. It's a dog holder.
Yeah.
But it has Duck Dynasty on it.
Cash in big, man.
Sign There's nothing all. Duck Dynasty about it other than it says there on under here it says family, what is it? Family certified, redneck approved. It just is labeled like nice, but all this is it's a dog carrier or a dog cage or something.
You got to make the most of your 15 minutes.
But it's not these guys who's making money. It's A&E who's making money. I guess they may get some of it, but mostly it's A&E that's turning it. And there's Duck Dynasty beef jerky. Mm-hmm. I saw that in the store. What is going on? And why aren't we a part of it? Why don't we have Craft Beer Radio dog...
dog crates. Because when they asked, we're like, looked at them and said, what are you, fucking nuts?
It's just weird. I mean, it feels like those domains used to be separate. Mm-hmm. Television shows would stay television. Maybe get action figures, something like that. That sort of made sense. But the idea that a television show would branch into consumer goods on this level,
yeah,
just seems weird.
I can't believe there's... I mean, every redneck must watch the show for the penetration that they're getting at the consumer goods level. I mean, I'm familiar with the show. I've watched like 1.5 episodes ever. Mm-hmm. So I don't know and love them yet. But yeah, I mean, to... Okay, so imagine Dan Harmon started merchandising shit like this.
Community only gets a 1.1, is not...
But you love him. He's your hero.
Yeah, yeah, you know? But I mean, like, Big Bang Theory might be a better example, right? I mean,
but you don't love Big Bang Theory.
No, I don't. But no, would I buy a Dan Harmon cage for my dog? I don't think so. Unless that was the only one that was available, right? I think I'd actually be skeptical about a Dan Harmon...
So what if you're buying two dog crates, right? Mm-hmm. One was plain generic and one was Dan Harmon.
I would be skeptical of a Dan Harmon dog crate because that seems to me like you're spending money on putting a name on it as opposed to spending money on just getting a dog crate out there. But that's me. I'm slightly different.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, we're both too analytical to figure out why a Duck Dynasty dildo would be interesting.
They have Duck Dynasty. Oh.
Well, I'm almost certain they do.
I doubt they'd have. I don't think the Duck Dynasty would let themselves put their name on a dildo.
We should make one. And black market that bitch. We'll call it Jimmy's Wang or something like that.
Yeah, it would have to be, a black dildo only for gay people. Just to mess with their heads.
Oh, have you ever seen... Oh, you just gave me the best idea. There's this... Ever see Mr. Jack? Do you know what I'm talking about at all? Probably not.
No.
There's this gay sex aid. It's kind of like a fleshlight. Long, long before fleshlights. But it's a man with a beard and it's his mouth, right?
Okay.
So it's made for sticking your gay dick into.
Sure, sure.
We should make...
They have fleshlights with mouths. I think they have gay mouth fleshlights. Right.
This was long before. I mean, because this was something that, you know, a couple friends of mine... I don't know if I can tell the story and make it... Yeah, I can tell the story. I think it's probably entertaining enough, even coming secondhand. Guys I know, I'm not sure if you've ever met Jeremy. I used to work with him at the Trip and whatnot. I was screwing around with his one friend. So they bought him for his birthday, you know, Mr. Jack. You know, this... And, you know, hardy horror, funny joke. So the guy just threw it in his trunk. And it was in his trunk... And one day he was driving home at night and his tailpipe had fallen down. So a cop pulled him over and the cop was going to make him tie up his tailpipe before he would let him go. So he opens the trunk and the story as I've heard it, I'm not sure the guy had this much poise, but as he was rummaging through his trunk, he handed the Mr. Jack to the cop and asked him to hold it for him. I can't imagine that you have that much poise at that moment, but
actually, sure I think that's a brilliant idea because way to make the cop uncomfortable and just not want to be there. Be like, all right, I don't want to even deal with having to write the paperwork on this.
But let's make some Duck Dynasty Mr. Jacks.
Yeah,
there you go, big old beard.
Well, they all have them, right? Mm-hmm. So why not?
Yep.
What are you looking up?
Mr. Jack.
Mr. J. Mr. Jack. Let's see. Did you ever finish all those Arrested Developments?
No, and I didn't.
Too bad.
I think I will, but
yeah.
I actually forgot all about them. That's probably why I haven't watched them.
I'd recommend Rick and Morty first.
Okay. Of course, trying to Google image search for Mr. Jack's not going to work very well, I don't think.
Is your safe search on?
It shouldn't be. But, actually, you know what? I'm in my long browser. Let's try over here. Great air. I just want to pull this up on the sly.
Let's watch as Jeff tries to do an image search. Let's listen.
A gay sex toy. Nope. Mr. Jack's not pulling up. There's too many other things. Oh, well.
Well, let's... Oh, this is a good...
There it is. Looks like an electric version of it.
All right. Here's a question for you. Mm-hmm. Let's say you masturbate with that. Does that you haven't ever touched a man's genitals?
Right. Does that
make you gay?
No, it just makes you horny.
Right. I mean, it's a hole, right? I mean,
maybe you like your women with mustaches.
Yeah. I've seen some. Okay.
I think it's a wrap.
Yes. We'll talk to you on the post show and on the main show.